Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast. My name is Ryk van die Kerk and my guest today is Rikus Nel of Brentest Wealth. He has been in the financial services industry since 2004 and he's worked for several institutions including Investec Trust and he has worked in South Africa as well as in the Channel Islands and Geneva of all places. And Rikus is currently the head of Brentest Wealth's office in Tiger Valley in Cape Town. Rikus, welcome to the show. Magnus Huystuk, the head of Brentest Wealth, wrote a very negative blog on MoneyWeb, and he talks of a financial tsunami heading towards South Africa. Do you share his views?
Hello, Ryk, and hello to our listeners. Ryk, I actually do, to an extent. I think what we haven't seen from the downgrade sort of process is the negative sort of implications that's going to roll out over the coming, say, 12 to 18 months. I think everyone is awaiting in tension with Moody's sort of assessment. It doesn't look very positive at this stage. And I've attended, you know, quite a few seminars where this downgrade are sort of discussed. It is very clear that the negative implications has not taken sort of a footing in the South African economy and rest really on the ratings agency Moody's assessment, which is coming out probably within the next month or 2 months. So I think very negative as well from my side. However, I do want to underline just from my side to say I think the long-term sort of strategy of investors should be sort of emphasized and reviewed during this time, but there's nothing wrong for me to reduce risk at this stage.
The point in the article is that most investment advice is overly biased towards equities and that maybe it's time for investors to be slightly more conservative and move some money towards cash. What is your view on that?
I do share that view. I think equities and other risk assets like listed property has done extremely well in the interest reducing sort of cycle. That cycle has clearly changed internationally and also nationally. And that interest-bearing instruments are sort of looking attractive at these levels. I must just add, you know, other than just cash, your fixed interest instruments like bonds could be extremely risky at this stage, still ahead of a further downgrade. So it's just a matter of just understanding moving out of equities is not necessarily sort of freeing completely away from any risk sort of component in financial markets.
How should investors then look at the next 6 to 18 months? We have had two downgrades. We are, of course, waiting for Moody's. But the immediate reaction was negative, but the rand has, for example, strengthened. Currently, it's trading stronger than 13 rand to the US dollar. How do you think things will play out over the short and medium term? And what should investors do to try and reduce the risks that may follow?
Yeah, Ryk, I think it's very important just to understand what the rating downgrade has meant up until now. You know, there's been said quite a few times that we need to understand this mechanics between our foreign currency bond issue and our local currency debt or bond issue, and that 90% of our foreign debt is issued via our local currency. Okay, so that's a very important part. The second part...
Can you just elaborate, explain that exactly what that means?
Okay, so that means that even foreigners investing into our bond market in South Africa would have routed it through a rand instrument, okay? Now, our rand-dominated bond credit rating is not junk status or speculative status yet. On Moody's side, neither so on the S&P, okay, Standard & Poor's. So from that respect, I also want to say the horse is not bolted yet. And with Standard & Poor's, it's still one notch above junk status. And with Moody's, it's still two notches above. Fitch doesn't make the distinction, so they They say foreign or local currency debt is both just one credit rating. So for that purposes, they've downgraded our local currency debt already. Okay, but then a very important part to understand is that almost 90% of all our debt issues and bond issues that's been taken up by foreigners base the asset allocation on the Citibank index, okay, and they rely on S&P, okay, and on Moody's, and on both of them to give a credit rating to say whether someone is speculative or investment grade. Now, if you look at that, really just half, as I said, half of the horses has really bolted. The move of asset allocation and, let's say, a retreat of asset allocation out of South Africa has not happened because Moody's has not expressed the credit rating yet. So from that respect, we haven't seen the big outflows yet. As I say, the risk and the concerns that Magus is alleviating on the website and our media exposures, etc., is really leaning on what Moody says next, and that would be very negative if they further downgrade us from where we are at the moment.
But if Magnus is right, and I most definitely don't think he is right, I think he's slightly alarmist, but say, let's think he is right. We get another downgrade, and there is a massive outflow of foreigners' investments from South Africa. That would trigger a rand weakness. What should investors do now? It seems like we have a month, 2 months to prepare for this eventuality. What should they do now?
Right, the complexity here, and also want to say the challenge really is, if we talk about investors, we're not talking of the same thing. You get investors that's lying in cash at the moment, needing to decide whether they want to deploy that cash into markets or not. You're talking about investors that invest for speculative, or almost want to say spare capital. Then you also talk about really investors that's trying to build up their retirement capital, and then you also refer to clients that's in retirement at the moment. And for all four of those, there's many more, but all I want to say is for all four of those, there would be different strategies. So it's very important just to break this down really and unpacking what would be suitable for whom. Now, if someone is in cash at the moment, if we further downgrade it and remaining in cash, obviously, you know, from a buying power sort of consideration, that client will lose out considerably, okay? Investors that's in the market currently.
But what should that person do if he's in cash?
Well, there's two strategies, and really, this comes back to what is the time frame that someone is wanting to expect and want to see sort of investment results. They need to determine, do they have any market risk capacity at the moment? If they haven't, they've got no other option than to remain in cash. Okay. If they have got a long-term view, and if you ask me, this is almost the only sort of scenario that you can, with peace of mind, sort of go to the market at the moment. If you have got a time horizon, 8 to 10 years and longer, and moving that out of cash, because markets internationally is high, so you run this risk that markets can come off, and obviously trying to sort of protect your rand investment, you naturally need to go offshore. So it's a little bit of a tricky one. There's not this sort of obvious destinations where you can move into at sort of a safe and a very low risk expectation, and investors need to understand that. So linking on to that, structured products is probably not a bad sort of alternative, and you'll see in the marketing sort of outlets, you'll see more and more service providers actually launching these structured products, where, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago, it was quite sort of uncommon and unpopular. So I think from my respect, I think capital preservation sort of hat needs to be worn at the moment by investors, and whether that's in cash, but understanding that you're running the currency risk, or in markets and understanding that you might be sort of, you know, helping on your investment and protecting it from a rand perspective, but that you are running the risk of higher financial markets internationally, and that you have to have a longer time horizon.
The second type of investor you have identified are those with discretionary investments, not part of a pension scheme. What should those investors do?
I think, you know, for naturally that will also link onto the time horizon. The longer the time horizon, someone hasn't got an option to really avoid risk assets, but they also need to understand that it will come with volatility. And to understand volatility and really just explaining it practically is understand that any asset manager needs volatility to beat the market. Otherwise, you can really just go into a investment tracker or index tracker fund, an ETF, and really just get the market return. So volatility is not bad, but you have to got that, have to have that time horizon really to be able to stomach that volatility.
But there's a difference between volatility and a 20% correction, which many people forecast for the U.S. market, for example. You know, having said that, there are always people calling a 20% correction from the U.S. market. But surely the upside or the possibility that share market or equity market shoot the lights out over the next 12 months is limited.
It's low. I agree with that. And I think that's also why we're saying also sort of cut back on risk and look at more certainty and consider fixed interest instruments. But having said that, Rake, you cannot sort of avoid risk asset classes like equity and property if you are an investor for the long term. And it comes back to time horizon and time consideration of what you're wanting to and are able to expect investment results. But if you look at, let's say, 100 years track record, yes, it's uncertain at the moment. Yes, there's building pressures in internationally, locally, etc. And during these times, I think it's very important just to reaffirm that these sort of difficult times shouldn't let us forget that we've been in uncertain times, and that the track record of risk assets are very clear, and that that's one of the sort of only ways to really build out and build wealth for clients over the long term.
Yeah, don't try and time the markets. It's virtually impossible. The last category is people that are have retired. They have their products probably geared towards income. What should they do?
Yeah, well, they have to find income in essence, and that's very difficult at the moment, especially sort of income that is inflation beating. We're fortunate in South Africa, you know, if I say fortunate, that's probably ironic in calling it fortunate, but that our fixed interest rates are relatively high, and that there's various of them that are actually inflation beating. So what we prefer to do is to build up a little bit proportion within each portfolio that can actually sustain an income draw for a 2 or 3 years, irrespective of a market correction. But having said that, I've referred to earlier to say that these instruments are also risky, especially in the face of a downgrade, and that it's prudent to diversify properly. And that's why I'm saying one has to be careful to deviate too far away from a client's sort of long-term position and positioning. But I agree with you. There's nothing wrong to feel that equities are probably not going to deliver what we want them to over the next 12, 18 months, and that you can, if I may call it, beef up your interest-carrying instruments in your portfolio, at least just trying to generate some income that you know are going to be necessary for these type of clients.
Thank you, Rikus. That was Rikus Nell of Brenthurst Wealth.